Hi, my name is Scott, and I have read all of the Harry Potter books multiple times. I've seen all of the movies, and like most of my peers, I continue to be a Harry Potter enthusiast to this day.
And I'm Becky, and I have never read a Harry Potter book or seen any of the films, which makes me the ultimate muggle.
Join us as we make our way through each book, section by section, where Becky will make predictions about what she thinks will happen next.
And Scott will try to convince me why it's a good series, worth reading, and maybe even worth loving.
Hi everyone, welcome to A Muggle's Guide to Hogwarts, where we're exploring the Harry Potter series with the ultimate muggle, someone who has never read the books, never seen the movies, and really didn't want to, but now she's doing it because I asked her very nicely to do this podcast with me.
Thanks for changing it from saying, because I forced her to.
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably better.
Not forcing anything at all. We're just reading Harry Potter and we're having fun. Right now we're reading through Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone and we're going through in sections and Becky is making predictions. She has no idea what's going on. She's coming into this completely blind and she's trying to make predictions bit by bit on what the hell is going on, which I think we've found out is kind of difficult because this book, like the plot doesn't really get started in this book until pretty late.
Yeah, I think, was it last episode, the one with the troll? I was like, oh, this is the first time that there's actually like action-packed, like compelling things happening. I mean, they're setting up the world. They're setting up the story and characters, but.
Yeah, where the troll is in the girl's bathroom.
Yeah.
That's the first time where there's like, an action set piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're actually fighting a troll.
Right.
It's all about setting up the world and setting up the characters.
Which is fine. It's fine. But yeah, it's getting like more layered and, you know, all these little things that we've heard previously in the book are coming up now. So like it's starting, like the dots are starting to be connected. It's starting to all make sense as a bigger picture. And later in this episode, I give my prediction for the end of the book. Like this is a second to last discussion of this chapter.
We're
I can't
so
believe
close.
It. It's crazy.
We made it so far. We've come so far. Well, today we're going to be talking about chapters 13, 14, and 15 of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. We just read those chapters. Becky has made some predictions, and now we're going to talk about it. So those chapters, just as a reminder, chapters 13, 14, and 15, this is when the gang, Harry, Hermione, and Ron, figure out who Nicholas Flamel is. They figure it out by looking at a chocolate frog card. And then they're like, oh, no, we should have known that. Hermione runs and gets a book. And they find him immediately and figure out that he created the Sorcerer's Stone, which is the title of the book.
That is. And that he was like best buds with Dumbledore.
Yeah.
But it seemed they had like a falling out or something or.
No, I think they're still best buds.
Oh,
I don't know. Nicholas Flamel is old. He's got a lot going on, or maybe nothing going on.
I thought they had a falling out.
I don't think so.
What am I thinking of?
I don't know. Anyway, so they find out who Nicholas Flamel is. They find out what the Sorcerer's Stone is. And in the next chapter, Hagrid has a dragon all of a sudden.
Which I totally called like a long time ago.
Yeah, because at the beginning of the book, Hagrid mentions that he's always wanted a dragon.
Yeah, he just throws it out. He's like, I wish I could have a dragon one day. And I was like, that was so random. I feel like that has to come back.
Now that I'm rereading this book, some things are very obvious, that being one of them. Like Hagrid mentioning that he wants a dragon out of nowhere that, you know, I guess it's kind of character development, but I don't know. Very obvious. Yeah, so you called that a long time ago. But he has an egg that he won from someone in a pub, and it hatches. And this whole chapter is just like him, the hatching of the egg until get rid of him at the tallest tower of Hogwarts and give him to Charlie. And then the last chapter is called The Forbidden Forest, and that's when they get detention because they get caught, and they go into the Forbidden Forest with Hagrid. They're hunting down an injured unicorn, and then Harry finds, presumably, Voldemort, who is drinking the blood of unicorns.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Things are really starting to pick up.
So what do you think about this Sorcerer's Stone thing? This is like the first time that we figure out what it is.
Yeah, I'm still a little confused about what it is. So somehow this stone turns anything into gold.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
yeah.
How? Does it have like, you just set it next to it? Like, what do you... How do you use the stone to turn anything into gold?
Yeah, if you're going to ask about like the mechanics of the Sorcerer's Stone, I think you're going to be disappointed.
Okay, but then it also makes you immortal, right?
Yes.
Or does it just live a very long time?
No, so the book says it can it can turn any metal into gold.
Oh, any metal, not anything.
No, not anything.
Not like an apple.
I think it's any metal into gold, and then it creates the elixir of life. So
it creates,
which makes you immortal.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm like, so does just possessing the stone just make you immortal? Or so the stone actually creates, does it like secrete it?
Again, you're going to be disappointed if you really want to know.
Boil some water.
If you want to know how the stone specifically works,
shave a couple of, you know, microns off and brew it like some tea.
Just
like, how does it create?
It's like squeezing blood from a stone. It's squeezing life from a stone. I don't know. No one knows.
And
the
nobody
book
cares.
Talk about, no, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
The book never mentions it.
Gives you eternal life.
Somehow this stone creates the elixir of life, which is a liquid, and then you drink that, and then you become immortal. But I don't know how that happens, and nobody does because it's never talked about.
But just having the stone isn't enough. You have to do something.
I guess so. Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. Not important. Let's not dig down into the details here.
Okay. So Dumbledore and old Flamel, they created this back in the day?
Flamel did. I don't think Dumbledore helped create it. So Nicholas Flamel is 600 something years old. And Dumbledore is not that old. I don't know.
But it says, okay, that once they figure out who Flamel is, it says he was famous for defeat of the Dark Wizard. Oh, no, that's Dumbledore. Dumbledore was famous for the defeat of the Dark Wizard, Grindelwald, and for the 12 uses of dragon blood, and his work on alchemy with his partner, Nicholas Flamel.
Yeah.
But so, that doesn't necessarily mean he had anything to do with the Sorcerer's Stone, I guess.
Yeah, and then later on, they're like, Nicholas Flamel is the only known maker of the Sorcerer's Stone.
Oh.
I think that's later on in one of the books.
Okay.
So
no, it's like, yeah, it's on the same page. It's right here.
Okay. So I don't think Dumbledore had anything to do with making the Sorcerer's Stone, but maybe him and Nicholas Flamel were just like alchemy partners together back in the day. They were
alchemy
just
alchemy buddies.
Yeah, they were just trying to make, you know, turn stuff into gold.
Is there only one Sorcerer's Stone? Do they talk about that, or are there like a few?
Well, I don't know. It says they're the only known maker of the Sorcerer's Stone, and I don't think the Sorcerer's Stone exists. I think the Sorcerer's Stone is like the highest achievement of alchemy, and I guess in theory, wizards were like, oh, it can exist, so we're going to try and make it. But Nicholas Flamel is the only one. So I don't think there's like a naturally occurring Sorcerer's Stone.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one is the only one that ever exists.
Okay. So,
and ever has
so they
existed.
Had hidden it inside Gringotts previously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there was, I'm just going through the origin story of this stone, right? So I guess Flamel created the stone. Dumbledore knew about it because he was buddies with Flamel. It was hidden in Gringotts because it's too powerful, I guess.
Yeah, they just want to keep it out of the wrong hands, you know?
Yeah.
And Gringotts is the safest place.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
So how is Flamel still alive and 650 whatever years old if he doesn't have the stone?
I don't think you need to be in like physical possession of the stone. I think he has the elixir and he's drinking some elixir and like he has that.
And then he's like good for life.
Well, I think maybe you have to drink it more often than not. I don't know. It'll become a little bit more, a little bit more clear at the end of the book.
Okay.
Not much.
Okay.
But a little bit more.
Yeah. So it was in Gringotts in a safety deposit cell.
A vault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's clearer. and then they got word that it was maybe going to be stolen, right? And that's why Hagrid was sent by Dumbledore to go get it when he was with Harry.
That's a great point. Like, I don't know if they got word that it would be. How would they get word that someone would try to steal it?
I thought Hagrid took it.
Well, yeah, Hagrid took it because Dumbledore asked him to get it out of Gringotts. But I don't really know how Dumbledore would know to get that. Maybe he just felt like they needed to move it to a safer place.
I thought it said it was like under threat of being stolen. Like, because there was someone who tried to break into it the next day, right?
Yeah. Or the same day, like later that day.
Okay. So maybe he got wind of it. Maybe he just sensed it with his magical powers.
Yeah. Well, they took the stone out. It was originally in Gringotts because it was safe there. But then somehow, like, Dumbledore got spooked and asked Hagrid to take it out of the vault and then hid it in Hogwarts.
Right.
Hagrid reveals that other teachers are helping guard the stone.
I think I have too many questions. I'm too much of a Ravenclaw.
Did I use that right? You're too inquisitive.
Did I?
You want to figure out all the parts and pieces.
Yeah, I just want to know how a rock performs these tasks.
Are all of your questions about the Sorcerer's Stone and how it works?
No, I actually didn't write any of those questions down. I actually had nothing for chapter 13 because I was cooking dinner when you read it to me.
Okay.
Let's talk about the dragon because I really like dragons and this was fun.
Yeah.
I liked the description of the egg, like a black egg that had to be kept in a fire. That's nuts.
J.K. Rowling went crazy.
It took a long time to hatch.
Because dragons aren't real.
I disagree with you.
You think the hatching process took a long time?
Well, yeah, because Hedwig dropped off the letter and then Hermione was like, no, we have to go to class. And then they went to class and then they went to Hagrid's and he's like, great, you're just in time.
Like, well, I think it was like partly they were there for like the very end of it. Yeah, but yeah, it took a long time. Maybe does like regular hatching take a long time? I feel like anything hatching takes a while.
I don't know. In Jurassic Park, the Velociraptor, yeah. Okay. I mean, it just kind of like cracked it open and just went for it.
Good point.
And dinosaurs and dragons are probably closely related.
Maybe. And both works of fiction. I mean, dinosaurs did exist.
Yeah, so did dragons, but.
Okay, great. I think this chapter is a little out of place, actually, because it's structured different from any other chapter. Mm-hmm. It's the entire chapter is just them experiencing this very short stint of this dragon existing in their life.
Yeah, it is kind of like doesn't move the storyline forward in any way.
So I think this whole chapter and the dragon storyline exists just because of something that you're going to find out, I think in the next chapter, about kind of what happened in the tavern and inn when he was getting the dragon egg.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know about that yet.
Yeah. You'll get some information about that in the next chapter, I think. But I think because we're told really early on that Hagrid wanted a dragon, mm-hmm. I think it's introduced just for that thing that you'll find out in the next chapter. And then J.K. Rowling was like, you know what? I don't actually want this dragon in here. Let's get rid of this dragon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And but now she has a dragon on her head. Like, Hagrid has a dragon. Literally nothing happens, like, with the dragon. Like,
well, Ron gets bit, and then he's not there when they go to the tall tower and that whole escapade.
Right.
Which is also really random. Like, I can't think of a reason
yeah.
that he is not there and Neville is, except that then he's not there for the punishment
mm-hmm.
in the Forbidden Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I'm wondering, that comes into play in my predictions
okay.
later. I'm to me, I'm just like, why?
Like, there has to be a reason.
That he's, like, sitting part of this out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought about that when I was making my predictions. But yeah, so that happens. Ron gets bit. His hand swells up, right? And
yeah.
his veins get all like green or
his hand
something.
Like turns green or something.
Yeah.
And he has to go to the hospital wing. And so he isn't there to go to the tallest tower to drop off Norbert.
Yeah.
So Hermione goes in his place. Because they established that only two people and a dragon can fit under the cloak. Like,
but wasn't
three
Neville
people
there
couldn't
too?
Have gone. Neville wasn't there with them, but Neville was trying to find them because Neville had heard that mm. Malfoy was going to catch them or like tell on them or something. And so he was trying to warn them.
What is Neville's place in this friend group? I don't really understand.
Yeah, Neville's kind of weird because they introduce him as this side friend character. He's not in the friend group,
mm-hmm.
but he's there and he's friendly and he's like trying to protect them in some ways, and they're encouraging him in some ways. But throughout the entire series, that's kind of the role he plays. He is
just like a side, like he's roommates with Ron and Harry, right?
Yeah.
He's a Gryffindor.
All of the all of the first years live together.
But he's not like part of the main group, and I just don't even really have a sense of like his character. He's just like this side person.
I think they actually established his character pretty well
on the train. Like when he was like clumsy, and he's the one that always like is looking for his rat, right?
His toad.
Toad?
Yeah, he has a toad named Trevor. And he keeps losing it on the train. But then throughout the rest of the story, they kind of, yeah, they chalk him up to be forgetful because he has the Remember-All. He gets the Remember-All that's
yeah,
supposed to
I
help
guess,
him remember things.
I guess he is in a lot. I just am not connecting the dot.
He's forgetful and clumsy, and he's not very magical. Like, he even talks about how he almost didn't get in or his family thought he wouldn't get in because mm-hmm. he didn't really show magic until much later in life. And he's just doesn't really do well in a lot of subjects at school.
Mm.
So
I'm just like, what purpose is he filling unless maybe we'll learn it.
Maybe
some
you'll
later
find
books.
Out. Maybe
yeah.
you'll find out later in this book or in future books.
Okay.
But anyway, so I think the other reason the whole dragon storyline exists is specifically so they can get in trouble to go to detention.
Right. They have to do something really bad to get a detention that is like very, very inhumane.
Yeah.
To make them stay up all night as 11-year-olds uh-huh. and go through this like really dangerous forest tracking unicorn blood. That's detention at Hogwarts?
That is forbidden, by the way. It's
yeah.
a forbidden forest. In what scenario ever would you say it's forbidden except for people in detention?
Yeah.
So
it's like the most like dangerous situation. You can put these like
Hagrid brings
sixth
like a crossbow
in.
With them. Like anytime a physical weapon is being brought along in detention,
maybe
rethink that.
Also, if your detention starts at 11 p.m. and you get done when the sun comes up.
Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It really, really
you
is.
You didn't need them to get in trouble transporting a dragon to
then put them out at night again.
It's just like, there are probably other ways of doing this that are a little bit more believable.
Yeah, but they had to move this story along.
Not only this.
Okay.
But then they do their detention.
Mm-hmm.
They go into the forest and they split up from
the only adult.
They're like, you know what? We're in this horrible forest that's so dangerous.
You guys go over there. Take Fang. What is
Harry
Fang?
And the person that hates Harry more than anybody else in the world. Why don't you go over there, take my dog with you, and just send up Red Sparks if you need some help.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous.
It's really.
It is fucking ridiculous.
But that's what happens.
And guess what happens? They meet Voldemort.
Yeah, like the most evil. It's so bad. Oh my gosh. And they didn't suspect that, like, if there's unicorn blood and they know that unicorn blood keeps people alive, that, like they didn't put some of these pieces together.
No. Hagrid's not very smart.
But it was Mrs. McGonagall that gave them this sentence.
Do you think she knew that that's what their detention would be? Or do you think she was like, Hagrid, why don't you take this one? I don't care what you do. Hagrid, just take this and run with it. Whatever.
I don't know. I think either way, it's absurd.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so they find Voldemort in the forest because the centaurs
Let's back up a little bit first. So they stumble upon these centaurs, and I was right. The centaurs are, like, super nice. They're, like, buddies with Hagrid, and they're really nice.
Are you sure you read that part right?
Yeah.
They're not nice at all.
Are you kidding me? Hold on. Let's check the books.
Hagrid's like, I'm usually friendly with the centaurs, but then they're like, nah, get out of here, Hagrid. We don't like you. Don't bring humans in here. The only really nice one is Firenze.
I feel like I read that differently. The first one they meet is Ronan, and Hagrid's like, hey, and they shake hands, and he's like, good evening to you, Hagrid. A deep, sorrowful voice. Were you going to shoot me? Can't be too careful, blah, blah, blah. Good evening, students, are you? And do you learn much up at school? And then he starts talking about Mars. I don't know. I thought that they were really nice. I know they didn't want Harry to ride them.
Maybe I'm thinking too far in the future.
And then they meet Bane. Good evening, Hagrid. I hope you are well. Like, I read this as like, okay, oh, they're okay, super all right. nice.
All right. I must be thinking about something else.
Okay, and then when they meet the young one.
Firenze.
He, like, really tries to help him out and give him a ride.
Saves Harry.
Yeah. Although I do want to point out that, like, I feel like the centaurs are written, like, are they supposed to be super sexy?
What is with you tonight?
Hold on. I wanted to read some of these. Yeah,
read the part where they describe the centaurs as super sexy. Okay. Read that part to me.
Okay. The centaur didn't answer. He had astonishingly blue eyes, like pale sapphires. He looked carefully at Harry, his eyes lingering on the scar that stood out.
So far, not sexual.
I feel like Harry's going to fall in love with this centaur. his eyes lingering, his pale sapphire eyes lingering.
I know. What a word choice, lingering. No one's ever used that before in any other context.
Okay, wait, there's more. Ronan and Bane came bursting through the trees, their flanks heaving and sweaty. That is super sexual. And the other thing that the centaurs kind of like are putting out in Harry's mind and in the reader's mind is this thing about something being written in the stars or like the planets aligning and like they kind of have this connection to the universe and they kind of know what's going to happen. And Firenze says something about like, well, you know, maybe it's wrong. Maybe that's not what's going to happen. It's been wrong before or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's kind of planting this seed of like destiny. And is Harry going to change his destiny or follow this path? Because clearly the centaurs are in tune with the planets and like a different realm than on the earth. Even Hagrid is like, they don't even want to talk about anything on the earth. He's like, so that is kind of an interesting theme that I feel might be like continue throughout the books, like what is his destiny and can he change it?
Well, there's already one instance of him changing his destiny at the very beginning of the book. Well, not the very beginning, but when he goes to Hogwarts and he's getting sorted into his house,
mm-hmm.
the Sorting Hat wants to put him in Slytherin. He says, you would be really good in Slytherin.
Mm-hmm.
And then Harry thinks in his head, not Slytherin, not Slytherin, not Slytherin, over and over again.
Mm.
And instead, the hat puts him in Gryffindor. So that's kind of an example of that, too, where...
But the hat was really torn, though.
Well, the hat, I think, said you would be great in Slytherin.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the hat takes into account what you want, too.
Really?
I guess so. It did for Harry.
Okay.
But I don't know. I think that's an example of him taking his future into his own hands and not potentially just following the path that he's destined to.
Right.
Through the stars or whatever, you know?
Right. Okay, sorry. So back to the end of the chapter. So Ferenczi offers to give him a ride, which is apparently a big no-no, but he does it anyway because he's a super nice guy horse. And he picks up that the unicorn blood lets you live just a little bit longer and a little bit longer and a little bit longer. And so we start to put the pieces together and Harry, you know, gets back to Hogwarts and is all like talking and putting it all together and figures out that it's Voldemort. And everybody keeps yelling at him to stop saying Voldemort. And so Voldemort's been gone. Sorry, V-Dog. We decided we were going to call him V-Dog.
V-Dog. Yep,
V-Dog has been gone, or nobody's seen him since Harry was a baby, right?
Yes.
Since that incident. So
correct.
We're kind of starting to figure out, okay, he's been living in this forest or living off the grid, on the brink of death, possibly staying alive through unicorn blood.
Right.
Until he can get his hands on this sorcerer's stone that can make him immortal.
Right.
So now some of the things start clicking in place. And that's kind of how it ends, that Harry's just all excited and Harry and Hermione and Ron are all talking about it. And, oh, and then Harry's invisibility cloak gets returned. And we don't know
how.
Mysteriously. Mm-hmm. Folded up with a note. That's how that ends.
Yeah. Did you have any other questions about the chapters or anything else that you wanted to talk about?
There were like just some weird lines. Like there's this one line in this most recent chapter where I think Neville is scared and it says that he grabbed the sleeve of Harry's cloak and made a choking noise. And I was just like, what?
I think this is just J.K. Rowling's writing style.
Like, what does that mean? Like, what? What is a choking noise?
Was he scared?
Yeah, that's what I said. He was scared.
Yeah, maybe he was trying to say something but couldn't. And so it just came out as a choking noise.
I was just like, what is this noise that he's making? Like, oh, and I'm scared. I'm just going to go.
These are 11-year-old kids. I don't know. And this is J.K. Rowling's writing style.
If you're really choking, I don't really think you can make a noise. Anyway, I thought that was weird. And we talked about the centaurs. Harry also just left Malfoy in the forest.
Did he?
Yeah, he got on the centaur's back and they like left. Unless Malfoy ran away before that. But I was trying to figure out. It seemed like he just left him.
I thought Malfoy ran away before that.
Maybe.
Because Malfoy, I don't think, saw the... maybe he saw him and got scared and ran away. But he definitely didn't, like...
He didn't see all that. Okay, then I just missed it.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then the other one that was weird was how it said, like, oh, the sun... You know, the sun... They didn't go to bed until the sun came up and their throats were sore.
Did it say that?
Yeah, like... I guess she's meaning like from talking so much because Harry was just like so excitedly talking. But like, have you ever woken up? Or have you ever like...
That's a weird thing to put in
there.
Yeah,
like just got a sore throat from just talking
a lot? I mean, yeah.
Really?
If I go to like a concert...
Okay, but you're not talking at a concert. You're singing over speakers.
I imagine if someone were to talk for a long time, yeah, you'd have a sore throat.
It's a little odd. Come on.
It's a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's the descriptor of how to show that, like, they were excited and talking a lot. I don't know. There are a couple weird throat things, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, that's all I got. That's all.
How we do predictions on this podcast is I'm going to tell Becky the names of the next two chapters. There's only two more chapters.
What?
So you're getting the names of the next two chapters. You're going to get all of the major characters in those chapters. And then I'm going to tell you the main locations for those chapters as well. You ready to hear them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Chapter 16 is called Through the Trap Door. And chapter 17 is called The Man with Two Faces. The main characters in these chapters are Harry Potter, Ron Weasley, Hermione Granger, Hagrid, Snape, Fluffy, Quirrell, Lord Voldemort. I have the Mirror of Erised in here. I have the Sorcerer's Stone in here. And Dumbledore. And now the main locations are the Forbidden Corridor on the third floor, the Chamber with Devil's Snare, the Chamber with the Keys, the Chamber with Chess, the Chamber with Potions, the Chamber with the Mirror, the Hospital Wing, and the Great Hall. And that's it. We're wrapping it up here.
Yeah.
This is your last prediction.
It is, and it was hard because I had to think about how this could actually resolve.
Yeah, end.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Sure.
Lay it on us.
Okay. The Forbidden Corridor on the third floor, we know that is where Fluffy is, right? That's where he's guarding the trap door.
Right.
So we know they're going to have to go through that trap door and find some way to get around Fluffy or something.
Yeah.
So I think they alluded to something earlier about Snape trying to figure out how to get around Fluffy using some potions or something. Or, I don't know, Hagrid said something about Snape. Mm. I think Snape gets around Fluffy with some potion because he's the potions guy.
Okay.
And the kids just follow him in. I don't think the kids actually do anything to get through the trap door. Also, this is why I'm wondering if this is the reason that Ron is injured. Maybe Ron is still sitting this one out because that would leave a really nice opening for like him to come in at the last minute and save them whenever their backs are against the wall or whatever.
Yeah.
So maybe they tell him they're going to go and he's like, well, I can't go. I'm in this hospital and my hand is the size of a basketball. So that's what I'm thinking, like why he's sitting out for a plot point later on.
Gotcha.
So Ron and, nope, not Ron, Harry and Hermione go down the trap door. And then it's a series of chambers, like you were saying. It's a series of rooms, I guess is what I would consider a chamber. And I'm thinking they all have different kind of like puzzles or challenges you have to solve in order to get to the next room. So the first one is the chamber with Devil's Snare. I don't know what that means. I don't know what a snare is besides like a drum, like a snare drum, or a trap, I think is a snare. I don't know.
What does it sound like to you if you had to take a guess?
I mean, it sounds more like a trap with Devil's Snare, but it doesn't say with the Devil's Snare. It says with Devil's Snare, which could even be like a flower. Like, I don't know. Mm. I think they have to, I feel like it's some kind of trap or some kind of like a booby trap, and they have to figure out a way around it.
Okay.
Then they get to the chamber with the keys. And I'm just imagining like hundreds of keys all around, like thousands of keys. And you have to solve some puzzle to know which key is the right key that is going to take you to the next room. Then it is the chamber with chess. Now, they've made a pretty big deal about Ron being good at chess. So I feel like this is where he has to come back in to save them. So I feel like there's some kind of chess-associated game or just chess. Not chess associated. I feel like there's a chess game. Maybe with, I'm trying to think, like with different people, or I don't know. The stakes get higher and higher in each chamber, and this chess game is happening, and maybe, like, I just almost said Daniel, Harry, and so the stakes are getting higher. This chess game is happening, and Harry and Hermione don't know how to solve this puzzle, and they're like, oh no, like, we're gonna die. And then Ron comes in and saves them because he's the chess guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they get through that chamber, and then next is the chamber of potions. So this is probably Snape's lair. Yeah, Snape and Quirrell are going to be here. They're kind of like the bad guys before the big bad guy. Mm. You know what I mean? Before the, what's it called in a video game? The boss.
The boss, yeah.
Yeah, they're whatever is before the boss. So they have to defeat Snape and Quirrell in this potions challenge somehow.
Mm. Okay.
If there's like a challenge in each room, I don't know. Maybe it's like a Princess Bride thing. The chamber with the mirror. So I'm assuming this is still the mirror of Erised. And this is the last chamber. Okay. So I think in order for this story to kind of have a climax and an ending, we're going to have to see V-Dog, and this mirror, and Harry kind of all at the same time. And the Sorcerer's Stone is somehow in this room. And there's some battle cleverly using the mirror. I'm just not sure because the book is called Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, not Harry Potter and the Mirror of Erised. So I know this mirror plays a part, but the focus is still about getting the Sorcerer's Stone. And so I think Harry somehow is going to have to use this mirror to trick him. Like, I think that's why it was such a big deal earlier. Not sure how all that goes down. What I'm thinking is that there's going to be like a big fight over the Sorcerer's Stone, and there's going to be like a lot of like back and forth between like Harry and Voldemort, and that Hermione or maybe even Dumbledore is going to kind of like come in and cast a spell over Voldemort, which like sends a stone flying through the air. And Harry, because he's the seeker and he's used to, you know, catching the snitch, is going to use his speed and dexterity, and he's going to be able to catch the Sorcerer's Stone, keep it away from Voldemort. Voldemort's somehow going to be defeated or banished. I kind of feel like our time with Voldemort isn't completely over, but he's defeated him for this book. And then the Sorcerer's Stone is saved and it's in the right hands. Then I think they have some injuries, so they're maybe all in the hospital wing together. And everyone's like, you made it, yay. And then they have a big like party in the Great Hall, or a big like ceremony to honor them for defeating Voldemort or whatever. And everyone's cheering and everyone's all excited. And Mrs. McGonagall is like, 2 million points to Gryffindor. And then they win the house cup or whatever it is they're trying to get this whole time. And that's how it ends. The end.
Thank you for making that prediction, Becky.
You are quite welcome.
We are going to go and read the book now, read those two chapters, see how it finishes,
see the culmination of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
And then we're going to come back next week and we will talk about it. We'll talk about those two chapters and we'll talk about our feelings or thoughts about the book overall.
Yeah, and we're not going to have a prediction. What are we going to do?
There's not going to be a prediction next week. But what we are going to do is we're going to talk, I think, a little bit about the movie. Because after we finish the book, we're going to watch the movie and we'll have an episode about our thoughts on the movie. So no actual prediction next week, but we're going to talk about everything that's happened. We're going to give our overall thoughts and feelings on the book. I'm going to see if Becky, you know, hated it or liked it. And then we will be talking about the movie in the episode after that. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We appreciate it so much. If you want, go follow us on Twitter at Muggles Guide. We also have an Instagram at Muggles Guide Podcast. go give us a rating, give us a review. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.